Pray with me. God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, thank you for your gospel, for your saving us. Father, sending the Son by the Spirit into the world to bring us back to the presence of the Father. Pray that you would work, Spirit, through your word now to draw us closer to you and teach us the gospel deeper and deeper in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. This summer, we're going to go through the first half of the Gospel of Mark. So if that helps you with study and prayer, great. I encourage you to read through it. Mark's the shortest of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It's 16 chapters, and it really does break up more or less into two parts, chapter 8, first 8, and the second 8, 1 through 8, 9 through 16. So we're going to get through basically verse for verse. So it'll be kind of slower, a little more verse for verse than I do often, so a little bit of change of pace, maybe that helps you. Mark is often called Peter's gospel. People wonder, why didn't Peter write one? You know, Matthew was a disciple, John was a disciple, you know, Luke spent time with the disciples and, you know, got eyewitness accounts. Well, who's Mark? And Mark was a close associate of Peter, and so throughout the whole history of the church, Mark is often called Peter's gospel. So if you read through with that lens, you'll see the way Peter's mentioned often. All of Peter's sins or shortcomings are on display. He tells poignantly his own shortcomings because he knows in the end his hope isn't in how well he's followed Jesus, but how faithful Jesus has been to him. Mark is very short and concise and very action-packed, and so if you followed those first 20 verses of our gospel reading, it covered a lot of ground. That's Mark. That's it, particularly the first 8 chapters, what we're going to do this summer. It's more action than words. So you read Matthew, Sermon on the Mount, there's a lot of Jesus teaching. Mark has very little Jesus teaching and a lot of Jesus action. So every gospel writer God used to write in their own way what Jesus actually did, taught, said, lived for us, but God used them in their own personalities and how they write, how they do things. So this summer, doing the Gospel of Mark, and I think Mark is asking us two questions. If you read the whole thing, I think he's asking the reader, whoever reads it for the past 2,000 years, two questions. First question is this: who do you believe Jesus is? You'll see that from verse 1, and you'll see that at the very end if you go all the way to the end of chapter 16. Throughout the whole gospel, he doesn't ever say it to you. Jesus asks that, but that question over and over again: who do you believe Jesus is? The gospels are written for us to know who he is and to trust in him. And the second question is this: will you follow him? So you read through all of Mark, I think it comes down to these two questions. Who do you believe Jesus is? Will you follow him? So these questions are going to repeat over and over again as we go through this summer, because you look at a different story. I think Mark is asking us to, who do you believe Jesus is? And will you follow him? That is the Jesus that you believe he really is. So today we're going to walk through a number of verses, and then we'll come back to these two questions to kind of set up kind of the rest of the summer for us. So you have on page 7, beginning of it, Mark 1, 1 to 8. Let me read it. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness, and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed like a weirdo, with camel's hair, leather belt around his waist, ate locusts, wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." So this is verse 1, Mark 1:1, the very first verse there. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. What does Mark want us to know about Jesus? What does Mark want you to believe who Jesus is just from the first verse? Well, when you start a book with the word beginning, what big book starts with the word beginning? Genesis. In the beginning. It's the first word in Hebrew. It's one word, beginning. Mark wants you to think of, hey, this is planned from the beginning. Same with John, in the beginning. The beginning of the, so this is a continuation of the story began in Genesis, but it's the beginning of the gospel. Not just any old gospel, but somebody. Jesus, and not any Jesus, but Jesus who has a title to his name. Jesus the Christ, anointed one. So we haven't even got through the first phrase, and we've got a beginning of the gospel of Jesus the Christ, not just Jesus who lived, you know, on that street over in Nazareth. Jesus, anointed one, Christ, comma, and who is this? Who is he telling us this Jesus is? Son of God. So we haven't even got past verse 1, and we know Mark wants us to know the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Verse 2, then he goes to say, as it is written, meaning this isn't, it's the beginning of the gospel here, but this isn't fly by night, it just happened yesterday. This has been planned for a long time, like the beginning. As it is written in the Old Testament prophets, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, even 100 years before, Isaiah, he also quotes Malachi there, he just doesn't tell you, he quotes both of them. As it is written, meaning, hey, this is prophesied long, long ago. And then verse 4, John comes, appeared baptizing for the, you know, repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So we haven't even got past verse 4, and we know all these things that Mark wants you to know about Jesus. So what are they? Well, who do you believe Jesus is? Mark wants us to know that he has a gospel, which means something, that he's the Christ, who's the Son of God, and it's long promised. So this is the fulfillment of God's long promises, God's word, and then I didn't put it up there, but has something to do with repentance and forgiveness of sins. Because we've got to keep going. We'll come back to that a little bit, but I want to keep going to get through a few more verses. 9 through 11, they're up there now. In those days, Jesus comes on the scene, came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Preached on that not too long ago. Our painting in the back is on that. And when he came up out of the water, immediately saw the heavens torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." Did you catch the Trinity in the gospel reading? Not very far into Mark, we already have the Son of God, so God has a Son, the Holy Spirit, and here in a few short verses, the Spirit descends like a dove, the voice from heaven says, "You are my Son." Well, whose voice is that? There's only one that can be. Yeah, so Father, Son, Holy Spirit, in two verses there, all over the place. And so it's a common objection sometimes when certain people trying to go door-to-door and invite you to a different non-Christian church of theirs, say, "Hey, do you know the word Trinity's not in the Bible?" Or, "Hey, do you know it's not mentioned?" Well, yeah, the word itself was made up later to be a shortener for what we're talking about. But you go, there's places all over. Jesus says to his disciples, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, teaching everything." Here you have, in one place, Trinitarian moment, the Son is baptized, which he doesn't need, by the way. He's going into the water so that he becomes like us in every way. He doesn't need forgiving. We do. And the Spirit comes and anoints him for ministry, and the voice of the Father, all there. Oh, yeah, that's my cue to get out of the way here. And that is, if you notice, if you've been paying attention, you haven't seen these pyramids before up front because they haven't been up here before. They are brand new. Something we've been working on for past number of months. And officially, Trinity Day would be white, but notice the themes of the artwork, the Trinity. So that's why we got green today already. So three in one, as we're speaking throughout the Creed, the mystery of God inseparably, one God, three persons, three in one, and also up on our artwork up front, which I have in the stained glass. Hand of God often for the Father, the Lamb, very similar, and the dove. All right, let's keep going. Mark 1:12. Then it says, the Spirit immediately drove Jesus out of the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels were ministering to him. And now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel. And here's what he said. Read it with me. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. So Jesus comes and preaches and says, hey, the time is here. God has fulfilled all his promises for thousands of years right now in me, right here. The kingdom is right in front of you. Repent and believe the gospel. That has to do with the second question Mark's always asking you. Will you follow him? What does it mean for you to follow him? Repent and believe the gospel. Will you follow him? So who is Jesus? Will you follow him? Following him looks like the time was fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. The gospel that you are God's child forever, not because of anything you have done, but because of everything that Jesus has done for you in his life, his death, his resurrection. That's the gospel. So, two questions. We'll unpack them a little bit. Who do you believe Jesus is? One. And two, will you follow him? Who do you believe? Read Mark over and every story. Sometimes the disciples are saying, who is Jesus? Who is this? Who can do this? They're asking that question too. Who do you believe Jesus is? And will you follow him? First, who do you believe Jesus is? How you answer the question will shape your life. I guarantee it. And there are many views, many beliefs, many divergent paths, you might say, of what people say Jesus was, Jesus is, who people believe Jesus to be. Go to any bookstore, you'll see plenty of different divergent paths, beliefs about who Jesus is. A popular one is that, well, you know, Jesus was a great teacher who just taught many things and we should follow his teachings. Yes, Jesus was a teacher. He taught many things, and yes, we should follow his thing, but that's not the only thing, and it's not the primary thing, Jesus. Jesus didn't come and say, hi, I'm here, and I'm a teacher, just do what I say. He didn't. That's not all of who he is. Jesus, yes, taught in the Sermon on the Mount, which, by the way, Mark doesn't have any of it. He just gives you the deeds of Jesus. And yes, Jesus said, love your neighbor, and yes. But if Jesus is only a teacher, he can be certain things, but he can't be certain things. If Jesus is only a teacher to you, he can be your model, he can be your guru, he could be your hero, he could be your mentor. He may be wise, he may be caring, he may be smart, he may be enlightened. But if Jesus is a teacher giving you only teachings, you'll never be able to follow all of them. And frankly, you'll take some of them and say, you know, I don't really like those because, you know, you're a teacher and I'll take this and leave that. And you'll never be as good as him. And if you try to follow all of his teachings, if that's all he is, the weight of his teaching will be too tough to handle. You'll eventually give up. If Jesus is only a teacher to you, your sins aren't forgiven. And if Jesus is only a teacher to you, following Jesus looks very different than following somebody who is your savior or is your king who has a claim on all of your life. So who you believe Jesus to be will shape your life. And it will shape how you follow him. It's often common to say, if Jesus was a teacher, then he might be the most enlightened person to ever live. Now that's being a model or a coach. If that is how you see Jesus primarily, first of all, I'm glad you're here and you're always welcome here. If that's how you see Jesus, you can certainly learn a lot from him. You can learn new ways to act, new ways to live. Yes, if everybody, even who didn't trust in Jesus as their king and savior, followed his teachings and words, I think the world would be a far better place. But following Jesus as coach or enlightened person or model looks a certain way. Or another popular one today is Jesus the political activist. You see, everybody wants Jesus on their side, no matter what the issue is, no matter, you know, what it is. Everybody wants Jesus on their side. But if you follow Jesus, the political activist, or if that's who Jesus primarily is for you, you know, I bet Jesus always agrees with you. That's kind of the problem, is when we co-opt him for our political party, is he always agrees with you and never disagrees, and he always disagrees with, you know, the opposite of you. When you see Jesus primarily as a renegade political figure who ironically always sides with your issue 2,000 years later, you're starting to make Jesus into something else. And you're following him in only a certain way. And he might motivate you to do some good in the world, but you might be missing out on who he really is. So who do you believe Jesus is? If Jesus is the fulfillment of all of God's promises, he's a whole lot more than we could ever imagine. And if Jesus is the fulfillment, the long-promised Christ, the Messiah, the King, the Anointed One, the King who has left his throne and come and lived in the dumps of earth at your and my life to come and save you and to bring the kingdom and forgive your sins, that belief and trust in him alone will shape your life. So who is Jesus? And I think that's a question that if we answered, woke up and answered every day, that would help shape each day of our lives. So that's the first one. Who is Jesus? Who do you believe Jesus is? All right, second question. Will you follow Jesus? Who you believe Jesus to be impacts how you follow him. Following Jesus, the coach, looks one way. Following Jesus, the teacher, the guru, the political activist, looks a certain way. But what if he's something more than those? If Jesus is just a teacher, what do you do with a teacher's teaching or content? You might have a favorite teacher from middle school or high school or college or whatever, and they give you all this information, and you take it, and then at times you leave it, right? If a teacher gives you teaching, you learn it, or maybe you don't. And if Jesus is just a guru, a coach, or a model, what do you do with a mentor's advice? You take it or you leave it. But what if Jesus is the Christ, the long-promised, the second person of the eternal Trinity, God the eternal Son, the Savior, the King, who knows everything about you and still loves you enough to die for you? How would you follow him? Mark 1:1, the first verse, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. What if Jesus is the King of the universe? God incarnate who has come to rescue you at the cost of his own life. What does it mean to follow this Jesus? Well, if Jesus has saved all of you and he is the King, he has a claim on all of your life. When you are baptized into his name, you are now his. He owns all of you. He is your Savior. He is your King. And so when we say, Jesus comes to say, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom is here, repent and believe the gospel. It means repent of our sin, of our own wanting to be God, leave that all behind by the Spirit's power, and trust in the only news, the only person that can truly give what your heart is looking for. You see, if Jesus is who he claims to be, or who Mark tells you he is, then your heart will finally stop running around looking for meaning in all these other places that won't fulfill you. You can stop and look at Jesus. You can follow him when life's difficult. You can repent and believe the gospel that you are God's child forever, not because of anything you have done, but because of everything that Jesus has done. Who do you believe Jesus is? And will you follow him?